Praise the Lord. I love these kids. We have a good group of kids, I'll tell you. And I was thinking while we were singing, a lot of other stuff going on with kids tonight. But I'm glad that's what's going on with our kids. And I'm glad you chose for your kids to be here and take part in that. So much bigger. So much bigger, you know, and more important than all the other things that are going on. I was wondering during our men's prayer time, how many children will be injured tonight? How many will take a bite into something they trust and they'll get a pin stuck in the roof of their mouth or a razor blade cut or maybe even some kind of poison, some kind. I wonder how many children will be injured tonight. How many will be molested tonight? How many will be hurt tonight? Thank God for our church. Thank God for a place where kids can come and they can hear the Word of God and they can be redeemed and stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 23. Think you could get a camel through the eye of a needle? Little eye of the needle, well, I can't even make it that small. Try to imagine a candle going through the eye of the needle. They say there is a place in the Middle East that was called the eye of the needle. It was a very small, narrow pass for people to go through, and it was a difficult thing. I'm not sure that's what Jesus meant here. I think he means a camel going through the eye of a needle, actually. But at any rate, I want you to consider this passage tonight. Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men, it is impossible. And certainly if I were to try to consider tonight putting a camel through the eye of a needle, I can't even get a piece of thread through the eye of a needle, let alone a camel. But he said, with men, it's impossible. And it is. And by the way, it's impossible for anyone to get saved with men. It's not possible. It's impossible for a rich man to be saved. It's impossible for a poor man to be saved with men. With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Thank you so much for just a great week and a lot of decisions in chapel this week. And Lord, for our services today, this morning, tonight, the young people singing, such a blessing to my heart. I'm so glad that they are redeemed. Most of them are saved. They've made a profession. And they don't maybe understand all of that. But they know it's something special. They know it's something good. And Lord, thank you that we can be redeemed and we can be saved. And Lord, that's an impossible thing for us to do. We couldn't have saved ourselves. We couldn't have worked our way to heaven. But you saved us. And I thank you so much for that salvation. And now help us tonight to know that all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a lot of things that are going on around us. Certainly situations where, as men, we consider the things going around us and things going on around us, the attitudes of people. You go soul winning just a little while and you see things are different. People are not interested. They just want nothing. There's always been that, but more and more people don't think the way we think. More and more I'm amazed at letters to the editor that I read in the paper, and I may have to quit doing it just because it gets me so worked up sometimes. I'm amazed at the way people think, how blind people can be. This election on Tuesday is crucial. Absolutely crucial, folks. I mean, it's not, you say, oh, Pastor, you're just panicking. No, I see what's going on. And you say, well, then praise God, the rapture. We're not guaranteed a rapture right now. We don't know when the rapture is going to be. How do we know the rapture is not a fact? How do we know the United States of America doesn't become a communist nation before the rapture ever takes place? We don't know that. You have no guarantee of that. Why would we want to let our freedoms go? Why would we want to give up? Why would we want to just say, oh, well, I'm just, you know, it sounds like the Millerites who thought the rapture was going to take place, and they were wrong on all kinds of doctrine, and so they had a prediction. They sold all their things and took all their animals and went up on top of a hill and put on white sheets and waited on the rapture. I mean, I'm not ready to do that. I think Jesus, when the rapture takes, he wants to see us busy. And for us to have an attitude, well, we don't need to vote, we don't need to care, we don't need to pray, because it's already gone and Jesus is coming. You do not know that. And I don't know that. I know he's coming, I just don't know when he's coming. And things really, again, those who are paying attention. Now, you can put your head in the sand and just kind of ignore everything that's going on. There's a lot of bad legislation out there that is against us. And our votes are crucial. Now, it's not the most crucial thing. Here's the most crucial thing. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Folks, it's not whether you're Democrat or Republican. Republican Party is not going to usher in the millennium. I got news for you. There's enough corruption in that to guarantee they may usher in the opposite millennium. Hello, don't get nervous. It's the truth. If you're counting on any kind of party at all, you are seriously mistaken. Sometimes we just have to vote and say, okay, well, here's the best choice anyway. But there's one choice that's always the right choice, and that is our Heavenly Father. Because all things are possible with God. And you know, you look around and you see all the stuff that's going on. And I say to you tonight, folks, don't give up. We cannot give up. There are so many people that are doubters and so many people that you see the glass and it's half empty, you know. I'm a glass half full person myself. I have always been that way. And by the way, even if the glass is empty, as long as there's God, God can do anything. So I don't care what the glass is. I don't care how bad it looks. Listen, as long as God is on the throne, we cannot give up. We are doing a disservice to our God if we doubt. We're doing a disservice to our God if we give up. We should be excited about the idea that God can do anything. And all things are possible. I always think about Luke 10, and we're real close. Go ahead and turn there. Luke 10, verse 30. And I mention this every now and then because I just love this thought. Luke 10 and verse 30. And you know the story here. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, here's what's sad. And I'm not going to get into the whole story here because I got a lot of things to say. But here's this guy, and Jesus said he's half dead. And Jesus tells a story, I think, from the standpoint of how the people looked at him. I mean, he's bleeding, he's hurting, he's half dead. But you know what? If somebody's half dead, they're still half alive. And two of the folks that went by, religious people, Christian people, I mean, they were religious folks, and could have been you, could have been me, they looked at him and said, oh, there's no hope, he's half dead. Thank God a Samaritan came by and said, hey, there's all kinds of hope, he's half alive. I mean, honestly, we look so many times at issues around and issues that we need to vote on and issues that we need to decide on and issues we need to stand on. And we say, oh, well, it's half dead. I give up. I quit. And we ought to be saying it's half alive. We got to keep going here. We ought to be saying, hey, the heart's still beating. Hey, there's breathing. Hey, let's do whatever we can to resurrect this. Let's get this thing going. I'm afraid, honestly, that's the way it is with soul winning in a lot of our thinking. You know, honestly, it's kind of like, well, it's half dead. You know, people are, they're not nice when they come to the door. Nobody's getting saved. Oh, people are getting saved. People are getting saved. Our teens, Brother Caleb, how many people have been saved with our teens the last couple of weeks? Teen soul winning, 39 in 8 weeks. 39 people have trusted Christ. They've prayed, asked Jesus in their heart. I mean, people are getting saved, but, you know, well, it's just not like it used to be. Understand, you look at it that it's half dead, but it's half alive. There's a beating heart. There's still a Holy Spirit that will convict. There's still a God in heaven that will save. The same God in heaven, the same Holy Spirit that convicted you and caused you to want to get saved, He's still working. He would. He would. It's up to us. Yeah, I know. I know He's half dead. But let's look at it. He's half alive. Three things, and then we'll be done. Number one, we hope it's possible. All things are possible. You and I, we have to look at it. We hope it's possible. We had 15, I think, not 15, 14 men at our men's prayer time. And every week we come in and we hope for things to be possible. We hope they are. We hope this will happen. I mean, we put names down. We put requests down. We put things down that are impossible as far as man is concerned. But we hope. And there is a hope there that it is possible. That's why we pray. Hey, isn't that why you pray? I mean, aren't you praying because you hope it's possible? Hey, this could happen. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. By the way, understand this. Wherever faith begins, okay, wherever there is faith, there's always a little bit of doubt. Always there's going to be a little bit of doubt. You have to have doubt in order to have faith. There's nothing to believe in if there wasn't some doubt initially. And you know what? Where faith begins, there's hope. And that's why there's so many Christians see the glass half empty, because your faith is dying. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Did you read your Bible today? Will you read your Bible tomorrow? Do you read your Bible every day? I mean, honestly, if you read the paper more than your Bible, no wonder the glass is half empty. I mean, if you watch TV more than you read your Bible, no wonder you're giving up. If you watch CNN and some of these news people that don't have a clue what truth is, more than you read your Bible, no wonder you're giving. No wonder you say, well, there's no use voting. No wonder you're willing to throw your vote away for a third party. You say, preacher, you're not supposed to say that. I did say it. And that's all it is. I'll prove my point. Yeah, you'll prove that you just wasted your time going to vote. Amen. I know you may get mad. And I'm allowed to give my opinion. But isn't that what it is? Well, yeah, but I don't like all the... Okay, but listen to me. If somebody will stand up and say, I am not for babies being murdered inside their mother's womb, wouldn't that be enough to give your vote to them? Okay, they may not be lining your pockets with money, or they may not be helping your union, or whatever it might be, but I think that ought to be enough for us to stand on. I think God in heaven might hear our prayers a whole lot more if we're doing something to stop all that mess and stop the murder of little babies. I mean, it just seems to me like that God in heaven would appreciate that, because that's what it is. It is murder. I'm just saying, first, where are we? 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, I get in trouble on these kind of things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I love this. I read this passage so often. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, verse 13, concerning them which are asleep, that's those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We're going to sorrow, but we don't sorrow like those with no hope, because we have hope. Amen? We hope it's possible. It's like I announced the death of Steve Currington. I'm still in shock over that. I believe he was 44 years old. He's doing a great work for God. I don't know of anybody doing any bigger work right now for this time, for people that are addicted, people that are alcoholics, people whose lives have been a wreck. And God, listen, all Steve Currington did was expose these people to Jesus. That's his job. That's what he did. That's what God used. You talk about a man for such a time as this. But here's the thing. I announced that this morning, and I hope it's possible. It's possible that I'll see him again. Now, I'm going to get to it. I know it. But I'm just saying, I have faith of that. We hope it's possible. We hope it's possible. We hope everything. We hope God's will is this. We hope God's will is that. We hope God is going to do something. Do you know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13? It says, love hopeth all things. Hopeth all things. I don't know how anybody can be negative if you love. Because love hopeth all things. There's. By the way, there's nothing negative in hope. It's all positive. It's all good. There's somebody that's half dead. No, I'm a hoper. They're half alive. No. I'm going to get on them and give them heart compressions, and I'm going to try to do something to help them out, and I'm going to pour water on them. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. They'll probably drown. But, hey, you know, I'm the guy. Hey, that's how we should be. Love hopeth all things. So where there's love, there's hope. By the way, where there's love, there's self-sacrifice. And the truth of the matter is, God uses that as much as anything in this world, is people that will have that kind of love. And God says, love hopeth all things. That's what a parent does for their child when they get backslidden. They hope all things. Are you listening to me? Hey, that's what a brother will do for another brother when they're not right with God. That's what somebody will do for someone who's backslid. They'll love hopeth all things. Well, I'll tell you what, if it was my kid, I'd throw him out. Yeah, that's because it's not your kid. If you love him, you'll hope all things for him. You'll go for it, man. You'll want him to turn out right. You'll want him to get right. You'll want that brother to get right. You'll want that spouse to get right. You'll want that thing to get put back together. You'll say, God, I have hope. And you won't give up. You'll want your country to turn out right. Why in the world would we be ready to give her up? I don't understand. Huh? I don't understand. You know, and our parents, maybe they're not right with God. Love hopeth all things. And maybe you have a parent that's not right. You have a parent that's away from God. Love hopeth all things. See, we hope it's possible. But again, understand this. It's you pray like it's relying on you, but you believe like it's relying on God. You trust like God's got to do it. You know that God is the one that can make it happen. We hope. We hope. And you know, we need more people to hope. We need more Christians to hope and believe that God can do anything and that all things are possible. Romans 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope. That's why so many are frowning today. I'm amazed at Christians. Honestly, I look at folks and I do not understand why we're so down. Rejoicing in hope. I'll tell you why we get down is because we don't hope anymore. We're just not hoping. We're just saying, Lord, come. Please just come. Come now. Right now. Today would be good. Rejoicing in hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. And look at Titus 2, verse 13. Titus 2, verse 13. Here's what I'm hoping for. Titus 2, 13. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What are we doing? We're looking for that blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ. Blessed means happy. It's a happy hope. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Just hope Jesus returns. That's not my blessed hope my Bible's talking about. It's a happy hope. I mean, I'm happy if Jesus comes. I'm happy if he's not because I'm going to rejoice in hope. I can be happy because I can hope. I can be happy because God gave me the Word of God that I can believe in and I can count on. And in my heart, there's a hope. There's a hope for America. There's a hope for every child. I was talking to some of our teens. I said something about this Wednesday night. It's just kind of latched onto my brain. And it's a hope for every one of our young people. And I look at them and I pray for them. I see their name. I pray for them and I see these young girls. I see them walking down that aisle in a white dress and they're pure. And I see him come, and I see a fella standing here terrified. I see him sweating. His palms are all sweaty. And I see him standing here, and he sees her there in her white dress. And he says, woohoo! And he looks back at me, and he says, preacher, I'm so glad I waited for her. And here she comes. And before the service, she said, preacher, I'm so glad I waited for him. And they're so excited. And I hope that. You say, well, not today, preacher. Oh, don't tell me about today. My Bible is still true. My God is still on the throne. The Holy Spirit still convicts. And I'm still preaching the truth. And I hope for him. I wish you'd hope for him like that. I wish you'd hope for every one of our young people to be in God's will. I wish parents would hope for their kids. You've given up a long time ago just because they gave you an attitude. You gave up first time they rolled their eyes at you. Don't give up on them. Hope for them. It's a blessed hope. It's a happy hope. Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful hope. We hope it's possible. Number two, we know it's possible. See, you knew that was coming. We know it's possible. How do you know? By faith. Well, how do you know Jesus is coming? Well, I believe he's coming by faith. My Bible says so. Well, but people have said that for years. Doesn't matter. I know it's possible. And I know all things are possible. I know that the election can turn everything around as far as God putting the right people back in office. I know God can do that. I know he can do that. I know what America has been. And I know what it can be again. I know you say, well, it doesn't look good. I didn't say it looked good. He always looks good. His word is always good. And we know it is possible. Come on. America. What America is. Isn't it a miracle that it's even America? Study history. I mean, you're going to have to get past some of the public school history to find the true history. But find out about America. Find the miracle of how God's people came here. Now, don't believe how God's people killed all the Indians. That's hogwash. God's people didn't do that. God's people tried to win them to Christ. Who killed them? All the drunks and all the people after lots and lots of money. That's who killed them. It's who always kills people. God's people don't kill people. I get so frustrated. You want to listen to all the secular garbage and the spin that everybody gives to make us look bad. We're the good guys. We still have a Christian flag. We stand and pledge the American flag. We sing the Star Spangled Banner. We ought to be the most loyal people on the face of this earth. I'm just saying this. We know it's possible. We know it's possible for this to be a Christian nation again. I'm not talking about having a national religion. I'm just talking about more Christians than not. And Christian influence. There's a lot of Christians. But you know, they're just terrified to say anything. Yeah, but we know it's possible because it happened. We know it's possible for the altar to be full, always. Amen? We know it's possible to pray 24 hours a day. We know it's possible to fast. We know it's possible for God to do things. You know, here's things that are possible to know. First John 5 and verse 13, you know this verse. There's so much we can know. Doesn't seem possible, does it? Doesn't seem possible that a sinner could go to heaven. Doesn't seem possible that our sins could be forgiven. Doesn't seem possible that we could be a child of the King. Doesn't seem possible that we could be a son of God. Doesn't seem possible that he would build a mansion for us. Doesn't seem possible that he would give us an inheritance. Doesn't seem possible that he would adopt us. Are you listening? Doesn't seem possible. None of that seems possible. Here's what it says. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That means everything that goes along with eternal life, and the best thing about it, it's opposite of eternal death. It's all true. Now, I can know that. Okay? We hope it's possible. We don't give up on that. But there's some things we know are possible. And salvation is possible. Being a new creature, that's possible. Amen? Look at Philippians 4:13. Here's another good verse. This is my life verse. If I write and sign my name in your Bible, I always sign this under it. You might not be able to read it. But that is the verse that I sign, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What do you know, preacher? I know I can do all things through Christ. I can't do all things on my own, but I can do all things through Christ. And that means you can do all things through Christ. You say, well, I'm just a young person. How could I ever do anything for God? Because you can do all things through Christ. You can know that. Don't have to wonder that. Don't have to guess about that. You can do all things through Christ. That's why I never understand. When God speaks to our heart and the invitation is given, why don't we just go and say, I surrender all? Because it doesn't matter how big the thing is. It doesn't matter how tough the thing is. It doesn't matter how expensive the thing is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why wouldn't we just do it? That's the big question. It's never God who is the hindrance to the all things being done. It's just us. That's all. Look at Romans 8:28. Here's something else we can know. Romans 8:28. And we know. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Circle that in your Bible. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We know. Okay? We know that we are going to heaven. We know we have eternal life. We know we can do all things through Christ. We know that it's possible for bad to become good. In fact, we know it is going to happen. All things work together for good. That's everything. That's all things. That's your surgery is going to work together for good. Oh, it was a terrible surgery. Well, why'd you have it then? Well, because I was going to die without it. Then thank God for it. Amen. We know. I mean, we know all things work together. Yeah, Brother Nixon and I were talking before the service about Brother Currington. And somehow, folks, this is going to work for good. I don't understand it. Don't know how. I just know it is because that's what God said. All things. We know that. See? All things are possible with God. Now, with men, throw it all out. None of this counts. But with God, bad becomes good. That doesn't mean go out here and do bad. That just means bad circumstances in our lives work for good. We don't understand it, but we know that's possible. Romans 8:37, look at that. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. That we know that. We know we win. Boy, what a great thing. I mean, wouldn't you like to? I mean, I'd enter every game I could enter into if I knew I was going to win. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, you just know you're going to win. Doesn't matter. Even it doesn't matter how close it is. Could you imagine? I mean, can you imagine a volleyball game? Girls, if you'd have known you were going to win, you'd go out there and close your eyes. Beep. Boop. You know you're going to win. It's just going to happen. Now, it doesn't work that way with games and stuff. Truth is, though, as a Christian, we win. I understand hell is all over our neighborhood right now. Understand that. Understand demonic forces are all over this place, not just today, not just last night, but all the time, but we win. Do you understand? I mean, there's guardian angels all around us. There is a war going on all around us. We win. We know we're winning. You say, yeah, but things go bump in the night. Yeah, but we win. So let them bump. Yeah, but I saw something move in my room. Yeah, so what? We win. Tell the devil that. I've had to tell him many, many times. Hey! We win. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we win. Boy, and then things kind of rush out of there. I'm just saying, you know, we win the thing. We know that. So are all things possible? Well, I don't see how we're going to get out of this recession. I don't know. God's still on the throne. We all look like we're eating. Amen. Right? Matthew 14, verse 17. I got to really hurry. I want to get you out of here before tomorrow. Matthew 14, verse 17. We could just preach right on into the rapture. That'd work, wouldn't it? They say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 5,000 men plus women plus children, probably 15,000 people. We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, let me just tell you, had Jesus didn't know what he was going to do, he wouldn't have said, bring them to me. You know the story. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but he knew what he was going to do. He had it all figured out. Hey, do you know that he's got this thing under control? We know it's possible. Do you know that about your physical condition? Do you know that about your financial condition? Do you know that about your loved ones? Do you know that about your situation? Do you know that it is possible? Then don't quit. Don't give up. Daniel in the lion's den, he knew everything was going to be all right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, king, we're going to be free from you in just a few minutes. They're thrown in a fiery furnace. They said, we win. What do you mean you win? Well, you're going to burn up. We're free from you. But they didn't think they were going to be ashes. They figured they were going to go to heaven. Amen. They said, he will deliver. Our God will deliver us from you, king. By the way, that worked on the king's heart. Folks, listen to me. You need to understand something. It's time God's people walk around like, number one, you hope all things are possible. And number two, you know all things are possible. It's time we seriously, why are we acting like we're defeated? Why are we acting like our God's not on the throne? He is God. He's the capital G God. Well, we get out here in the world and it's like we're apologizing for who we are. It's like, well, you know, we can't say this, we can't say that. Somebody's going to get offended. Who cares? He's our God, He's our King, and we win this thing. And all things are possible with our God. He's not like Dagon. Dagon bowed before God. Dagon, if he wouldn't have bowed, next night he had his he was chopped into pieces, and then he was bowing before God. Come on, all those small G gods, where's your gods? Where's your gods? Where are your gods? Are they on a vacation? Are they and then fire comes down from heaven from our God? I'm just saying, where is your God? It's like, well, I don't know. Are all things possible or not? Are all things possible where you work? Oh, but it's a wicked place. Well, I understand that, but are all things possible? Could the whole place get saved? Could everybody get saved? I like Rick Mormon's attitude. He comes into men's, this has been a couple years ago. He said, pray for me as I witness to people at my workplace. And we start praying, and God's starting to work. Amen? You say, well, I thought it happened overnight. Nothing ever happens overnight. God wants to know if Rick Mormon's serious. I remember the day, it was just a few weeks ago. Erica comes in, knocks on my door. In my office, here I am, the pastor. I'm working hard, studying. She knocks on the door, Pastor, please, you got to pray. Dad's meeting with one of his workers right now. You know what you say, what'd you do, preacher? I stopped and I prayed. Amen. That's on my heart, you know. Why? Because he hopes all things are possible, but better yet, he knows all things are possible. And all things are possible, folks. Your neighborhood is possible. Your neighbors are, it's possible for them to be reached. Amen. Number three, the last thing, we must work like it's possible. That's why the work stopped, because we kind of wonder, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work out. That's why we need to keep soul winning. That's why we need to keep having an altar call. I guarantee there's some folks saying, why do we have an altar call? Yeah, I know why you wouldn't want to, because you're never here. But you used to be. Altar call used to mean something. We need to work like it's possible. That's why we need to keep running buses. Because it's possible. Amen? That's why we need to vote on Tuesday, because all things are possible. That's why we have Berean Baptist Academy, because all things are possible. I'm tired of the devil getting our young people. I'm tired of it. You should be tired of it. I mean, all these kids, you understand all the kids that were up here? I hope you took a picture. I hope you took a mental picture. Because, sad to say, some of them might not do anything for God, and they may ruin their lives. We got to believe for them. We got to hope for them. We've got to know for them, and we need to work like it's possible that the rapture is not going to take place tomorrow. It's possible that the rapture is not going to take place in my lifetime. It's possible the rapture is not going to take place in your lifetime. And so we have got to train a generation to stand for God. I'm afraid a lot of Christians have this idea that, well, the rapture's taking place in 2012. And where did you get that out of the Bible? I'll tell you where you got it. You got it on your websites and all your junk that you read and stuff that you shouldn't even be paying any attention to. Who cares what the Mayan Indians said? In the book of Mayan, chapter 5, I didn't say Maya. She'll think she wrote a book in the Bible. I'll be honest with you. You know, you get an idea that, well, the rapture is going to take place in 2012. We just need to prepare everybody to lift off. No, we need to be busy down, staying down and doing what we're supposed to do. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm serious. We must work like it's possible. We must work like we know that our God is still God, and He'll still save lost people, and we can have. We must work like we can fill this place up. Why are we ready to leave it to the Antichrist already?
Well, we don't need to fix that. Antichrist is going to get it.
No. We're going to keep this thing and keep going. Keep going till Jesus comes. Look real quick. 2 Kings 3. All kinds of miracles in 2 Kings. I love it. I love the Old Testament. 2 Kings 3. Here's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 2 Kings 3 and verse 16. I like Elisha. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Amen. "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord." Man could not get out of this mess. Huh? The Moabites had Elisha, had the people surrounded, and there was no water. They had two very serious problems. The enemy had them surrounded. They had no water. And so the man of God, what does he say? He says, well, here's what the Lord says. He says, make the valley full of ditches. By the way, if you're having a tough time believing God, if you're having a tough time just getting enough strength to go on, just read this passage and go out there and dig you some ditches. Make the valley full of ditches. Here's our problem. We take our spoon and carve a little hole. Well, the rapture's going to take place anyway. I'm going to be out of here anyway. I mean, the Moabites, oh, they might get in a good shot, but I don't want to work too hard. People might think I'm a zealot. They might think I'm weird. So you take your little spoon out there and dig you a little trough. You like that, don't you? I can see the dust right now. There's your hole. Somebody might take their spade out there and dig you a little deeper hole. You know? Why? Well, because rapture's going to take place anyway. I mean, I don't need to vote. Rapture's going to take place anyway. Huh? Isn't that what we do? Yeah. Well, the Independent Baptist movement is over anyway. I don't care about the Independent Baptist movement. I'm pretty interested in the Jesus, what he wants us to do. I guess if he says make the valley full of ditches, he doesn't mean go get a spoonful. I don't think he means get a shovel full. What did he say? He said make the valley full of ditches. What's that mean? We're going to stay up all night digging ditches. That's what we're going to do. Amen. Well, yeah, but the Moabites are out there. Yeah, but he said to do that. Yeah, but we don't have anything to drink. He said make the valley full of ditches. What's he going to do? Don't know. But here's what I do know. I know he can do anything. So I'm not going to just do a spoonful. I'm not going to do just a shovelful. I'm not going to just make one ditch. I'm going to fill the valley with ditches. And you know what God did? He filled the valley and all those ditches full of water. All the ditches are full of water. And that's an amazing thing. And when the Moabites saw it, they thought it was blood. Verse 22, they rose up early in the morning. The sun shone upon the water. Boy, that was lucky. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And watch what they did. They said, this is blood. By the way, was it blood? Oh, people drank it. It was water. Pure, nice, clean, clear water. God gave them water. And the Moabites saw it and said, we're going to die. They saw it as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They've smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. Huge boo-boo on their part. And they were defeated. And the people drank all the water that they wanted, even if they were on that diet where they had to drink 96 ounces of water every day, because they filled their valley with ditches. By the way, what a message that is. It's their valley. The one time we don't want to do anything is when we're in the valley. That's the time we need to do everything. And then watch God do what he's going to do. Whew, that's so good. Right over to chapter 4, Elisha, he's an exciting guy. What a life. The Bible says that there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house?" She said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." Now she might have said this. She might have said, "You know, the rapture is going to take place tomorrow anyway, or 2012. I think I have enough to last me till the rapture." God just said, "Borrow not a few." Well, it's hopeless anyway. We're all going to die anyway. We might as well just die. But God's man said, "Borrow not a few." Ah. I like the fact that he had to tell her, "Even empty vessels." You'd think she might have got a hint there what was going to happen. "When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So we're going to take one pot of oil, and we're going to fill up every vessel that you bring in, borrowing from your neighbors. And sure enough, Bible says she went from him, shut the door upon her, upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And the sons went out, and they got busy, and they brought in all these vessels. Came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." He said unto her, "There's not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. And as long as the vessels came, they just kept pouring oil into him out of that one pot of oil. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to just borrow a few. "Well, preacher, you don't understand. We're getting old. You know, our time to do anything is about over." You're nuts. It ain't over till it's over. By the way, I would hate to be the one to say that, knowing there's an almighty God who can make it over. "Yeah, my time's over." I wouldn't confess to it till it is. By the way, when it is, you'll be, and there won't be any confessing needed. Ugh. Frustrating, isn't it? If people can be saved, then it's still possible. So we should tell them. We should reach them. We should keep going harder than we've ever gone before. If we still have the right to vote, why wouldn't we vote? Amen? Amen. If we still have, somebody said this, I think, in the men's prayer time. I think Dale said it. You know, we still can go soul winning in our country. We still can knock on doors. We can go door to door. Anywhere. I mean, we go in the mall. Sometimes they get a little mad. We get in apartments. Sometimes people want to run us off. We get in trailer courts. Sometimes they're not real appreciative, but we can still do it. Amen. So why wouldn't we do it? Why would we quit? "Well, it just doesn't work anymore." Yeah, but God said, "Go ye, go ye, go ye, go ye, go ye." He didn't say go as long as it works. He said go. You would think we would learn from Job. Nothing ever happens to the Christian without God's approval. Nothing. Nothing ever happens. Whatever it is, nothing ever. God is watching everything we do. And you know what? Until he comes, we need to believe all things are possible. All these kids up here, they can all turn out right for God. Every one of them. Every one of them can do whatever it is God wants them to do. Every young lady can walk down that aisle pure as pure can be. Every one of them can. Every one of them can. Every young man can stand up here pure as pure can be. Don't give up on that. Don't say, "Well, the world's doing this and everybody else." And you young people, don't you give up on yourself either. And don't sell yourself short. You can do great things for God. But you've got to hope it's possible. You got to know it's possible. And you got to work like it's possible. And that's what we need to do, Berean Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many tonight would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something tonight. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? Just slip it up. Father, bless the invitation. Help us, God, to really, really, really believe that with you all things are possible. There are prayer requests. There are needs in people's hearts and people's lives. There are things going on where miracles are needed. God, I've begged you for a couple of miracles. Last week you gave me a miracle. I thank you so much for that. Lord, I'm afraid there's folks here that haven't prayed for a miracle in years. Their life has become stagnant. And they're starting to even kind of wonder if it's even possible. God, it's always possible with you. Drive that home to every one of us tonight in our church. God, help us not to give up. Help us to keep going and going forward in a great, great way for you, I pray. In Jesus' name.